welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 categories smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to The Life Note, Ego versus EQ, by Jen Cercani and summarized by Marsha Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. The air of success in the executive suite can get a little heady, clouding a leader's ability to view himself or herself objectively. Compound that with the fact that the higher a person's rank, the less likely those around him or her are to give honest feedback. That can set a leader up for disaster at worst, dysfunction at best. CEOs and senior leaders often have blind spots about their performance by letting their egos run the show. Ego versus EQ by Jen Cercani identifies ego traps that get in the way for leaders and can cause them to fail. Instead, they should be leveraging their emotional intelligence, or EQ, to a greater extent. In her work as an executive coach, Jen Cercani has over 20 years of working with CEOs and leaders, providing her with unique insights about how these leaders can better utilize emotional intelligence to increase their effectiveness. In this Life Note, we'll review some common ego traps, such as ignoring feedback that you don't like to hear, relying on technical rather than leadership skills, micromanaging, losing touch with those closest to the business, and having a blind spot when it comes to how your words and actions impact others. Ready to tackle those ego traps? If so, you'll love this book. Let's dive right in. Big thought number one, be open to feedback. Stop ignoring feedback you don't like. Quote, getting the truth from others when you're in a position of power is tough. It's a tale as old as the emperor's new clothes. No one wanted to tell the emperor he was naked, and no one wants to tell the CEO he might be wrong. End quote. Most CEOs probably recognize the importance of feedback for their employees, and most organizations have structured processes for providing and receiving that feedback. Yet when it comes to their own performance, CEOs can turn a blind eye. What about you? Do you assume that you're a great leader with no flaws? Are you so sure that everyone is happy that you ignore the employees who are quietly slipping away to your competitors? Jen explains that while this avoidance of feedback may be due to inflated egos, it's often simply that leaders forget to step outside of their minds to seek perspectives from others. Perhaps they feel that a lack of feedback simply means that all is well. She suggests that leaders take 360-degree assessments, and also that they should be more careful to listen for feedback and also to respond to it. It's hard to ask for feedback from others. It takes real courage. The higher up the ladder you go, the more courage it probably takes, because leaders naturally don't want to show any weaknesses or vulnerabilities. Yet Jen writes, quote, by grounding yourself in the stories that others tell about you as a leader, you gain the humility and awareness needed to reshape those stories. You become the informed author of your own story of leadership, smarter, wiser, and more connected to your team. End quote. Be the kind of leader who not only seeks out feedback, but who then actually listens to it and responds to it. Yes, it takes courage, but you do have that courage inside of you. You might just need to dig a little deeper to find it. Step up to the plate on this so that you have the opportunity to really knock it out of the park. Big thought number two, technical versus leadership skills. Leadership matters at the top. Quote, for business owners who have founded their companies on their own smarts and technical gifts, it can also be hard to imagine that their technical proficiency might get in the way of their leadership. Yet when a leader continues to grind out responses to team members in the role of the expert, rather than taking on the chief mantle of chief motivating officer, that technical prowess can become an albatross. End quote. Quite often, leaders rise to the top on the strength of their technical or functional competence. Maybe they're brilliant at new product innovation, and their success at creating new products led them to greater and greater heights. Or they're amazing at sales and have successfully added many new customers. But as that sales leader steps into a CEO role, he or she can't spend all their time just bringing in new customers. And if they do, their VP of sales is going to start feeling pretty demotivated. Or if the business owner swoops in to solve every customer problem, their lack of leadership is going to render the organization dysfunctional without them. Good luck trying to take a vacation. In battling the ego versus EQ, or emotional intelligence, Jen Cercani offers this great advice. Quote, rather than asking, how do I demonstrate that I have the expertise that merits me being here, you must now ask, how can I use my expertise to support my team and enhance their success? End quote. She then provides the three R's, a useful method to help you with this goal. R number one, recognize. Recognize the moods and impulses within yourself that may tempt you to react as a technical expert. R number two, read. Read how these moods and impulses affect others who work for you and their ability to deliver results. R number three, respond. Respond with patience and understanding. As you advance as a CEO, business owner, or other leader, it's time to set your ego aside when it comes to your own technical prowess and be that great chief motivator and leader instead. By the way, parents, perhaps, also try this with your kids. Yes, of course you mow the lawn more perfectly or fold the clothes more neatly than your kids, but can you set aside your ego to let them do something just a little less perfectly? Big thought number three. Don't create more of you, the mini-me syndrome. Quote, when you hire others who live on your wavelength, you unintentionally create a support system of people who are not equipped to challenge you, to question your thinking, or to offer you a different perspective and direction. End quote. Let's be honest. We usually gravitate towards people who are similar to us. If we like to travel, we hang around with fellow globetrotters. If we're sociable and outgoing, we enjoy spending time with other extroverts. In the workplace, the same thing happens. Yet when a senior leader surrounds herself or himself with people who are very similar to them, it can have some negative consequences. Jen includes an interesting example about a client, the owner of several retail stores, who had to replace her general manager. The owner hired a woman who was very similar to her, with a great sales background, who loved to be out on the store floor. The issue was that the owner's new general manager didn't handle the accounting or inventory management very well, resulting in a negative impact on the store's profitability. By hiring someone that was just like her, the retail store owner missed out on finding someone who instead had the complementary skills that were badly needed. What about your organization or your team? Do you have a bunch of mini-me's surrounding you? Does your team get along so well and march so consistently to the beat of the same drummer that no one challenges with an opposing view? Jen explains when this happens, quote, the result can be a lack of challengers in the group. No different thinkers to say, hey, have you considered this possibility? Or what happens if the bottom falls out on that approach? End quote. She says that these provocateurs have an important role to challenge the status quo. True leaders need to go beyond this ego trap and find someone who is not just like them, but rather who brings the right diversity of experience, characteristics, and points of view that the team as a whole functions better together. In the same way that Lifebook members benefit from the diversity of experiences that other members share, leaders can similarly benefit from having a well-rounded team to bring fresh perspectives and complementary skills. So next time you want to hire a mini-me, it might be wise to take a pass. Big thought number four, not letting go of control, micromanaging at the top. Quote, it's not your job to stay in the details and micromanage every challenge the company faces in each and every department, but instead to lead your people in the strategic direction you envision. If you feel that you must micromanage, then you don't trust. And if you don't trust, you place artificial limits on your company's ability to grow. End quote. Working for a micromanager can be, well, ugly at best. The idea of having someone look over your shoulder at every move or meddle in your work is enough to make anyone cringe. Quote, at the heart of micromanagement is an ego-based failure to let go of control, the subject of Ego Trap 4. End quote. This can cause frustration and confusion for employees. Leaders must remember, the author tells us, to shift to an EQ-based approach. In doing so, they can focus on their high-level responsibilities rather than getting caught up in nitty-gritty activities. What are some of the things that cause a leader to micromanage? One is that they simply feel without their personal involvement, the quality of the work just won't be as good. Another reason is that leaders might feel irrelevant unless they're involved in the details of the business, They hate the thought of feeling out of touch. Check out these and other reasons in the book Ego vs. EQ and see if any of these resonate with you. If they sound just a little bit too familiar, it might be time to check your ego at the door and learn to do a better job of letting go. By pushing responsibility down to the organization, rather than trying to control everything from the top, you can empower employees to make their own decisions and allow them the room to learn and grow. If you'd rather be thought of as an inspiring leader than a control freak, you'll find some great wisdom in Ego vs. EQ regarding this particular ego trap. Big thought number 5, losing touch with those at the front. Venture out of your office. Quote, losing touch with your front line or even being perceived that way because of a lack of visibility is a surefire way to lose both your credibility and your employee loyalty. End quote. One of the ego traps that can cause problems is when leadership loses touch with the front line of the company. The author explains some of the negative implications of losing touch in this way. 1, valuable information can be missed about possible improvements for the company or other ways to be more competitive. 2, poor decisions can be made. And 3, leaders lose credibility and their employees lose confidence in a leader who is out of touch. Jen illustrates this idea by referring to the TV show Undercover Boss, which shows just how out of touch the CEOs have become. When they're forced to struggle with disgruntled customers on the front lines, just as their employees do, they gain huge insights as a result. And the audience loves to watch just how out of touch these CEOs are. It certainly makes for great TV watching, but if this is your real-life organization, it's probably not so entertaining. What about you? Are you as close to the frontline employees and your customers as you should be? Do you justify being out of touch by telling yourself it's okay to delegate everything? Do you send people spinning by changing directions without thinking about how it will impact those who have to implement your changes? If you are more in touch, what opportunities might come about as a result? Consider taking at least one action this week that will put you just a little more in touch with the front line of your company or with your direct reports. Perhaps just a phone call or a quick informal chat to see how things are going. You could even pick up the phone when an actual customer calls instead of letting the call go to customer service. Or what about creating a new habit around this idea? For example, adding a note on your calendar once a week to roam around the office a bit and seek out additional feedback. Actions like this can pay huge dividends. And who knows, this might even help you avoid becoming the next surprised and clueless undercover boss. Big thought number 6, blindness to your downstream impact, scattering papers and sinking boats. Quote, shifting priorities arbitrarily, feeling hot about a project one day and cold the next, making everything a priority at once so that nothing is prioritized. All of these behaviors and others can get in the way of sustaining the organization's long-term goals and cloud the company's vision. End quote. Let's imagine this scenario. You've been working for months to organize an event for the company. Perhaps it's an educational conference as described in the book. Then at the very last minute, the CEO swoops in, decides to change the keynote speaker, and then swoops back out while you're left trying to figure out how to deal with the aftermath. This can certainly be both demotivating and destructive. The author explains that when a leader constantly changes priorities or strategic direction, or requests tasks with unreasonable deadlines, quote, you can almost see the leader walking through the office, tossing directives left and right, with a trail of dust and papers flying around in her wake as employees try to manage the resultant chaos, end quote. Or what about this vivid analogy, that some leaders are like a submarine boss, in that they are quiet for a while, but then suddenly surface and create chaos, knocking the other boats out of the water? Is it possible that you've created some scattering papers and sinking boats by not paying attention to your impact? Although leaders certainly have the right to shake things up from time to time and create change in their organizations, the point to note is that there might be a better way to do this by using a little more emotional intelligence, perhaps in the form of increased empathy or improved listening. If you can go beyond the ego trap and instead employ more EQ, we're guessing that there might be at least a little bit less chaos and certainly fewer sinking boats, or at least fewer people with sinking motivation. It's time for us to get out of our own way, and we can only do that when we take a hard, honest look at ourselves. Are you up for it? So there we have it, Jen Cercani's unique insights for how leaders can better utilize emotional intelligence to increase their effectiveness. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.